Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams. And today we are going to talk about the Christian's role and the Christian's perspective in taking over our nation by being a voice, the community involvement and participation, what our role is. You know, I wanted to just, and today I'm going to just talk and just share what's on my heart. You know, it's in a particular place, and we were working with some of the churches in the area, and I had asked one of the churches for one night, could we possibly bring our people to your church if we have those that on a particular night that may want to be baptized? And I could understand, you know, I'm an outsider coming in, but the question was to some degree, but we're a Christian wanting to baptize. And the answer to me was, if we do it for one, we have to do it for all. So, you know, I didn't think anything about it. I mean, it's for like 2 months. I just accepted it, and I understand, you know, it's your church. It's your thing. You can do what you want to do. I mean, it's your, you know, what you belongs to you, and I understand there's rules and there's laws. But, you know, one of the things that we've been really trying to work on, and it's a mandate from the Lord, is to bring unity to the body. But I thought about that particular point that was made, and I began to think about the collaboration. If the churches really came together, put down our theological difference, and shared what we have in the community. And it became, you know, almost a revelation to me. I'm saying 6 to 8 weeks later, it just really just hit my spirit. Wow. So I understand you may not let everybody utilize your church for this or for that, but the baptismal pool, hey, that's a whole nother thing. Well, you know, my daughter and I, we were gone for 2 years, 21 months actually, over a 2-year span. The other 4 months we were in and out of the U.S., coming in to fly to other nations. And while we were in Japan, I got there on the first day, you know, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, here am I. Use me. Use us, God. I said, what do you want me to do while we're here? Now, we had, you know, several, you know, engagements that were set up. We had went the year before. And we went back the next year. And I was in Tokyo. And we were just praying, my daughter and I. We had an intern with us. And the next morning when I woke up, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw a white wall, like a whitewash board. And then I saw, I believe it was the Lord, like an angelic being, with a hand needle, sewing together the wares of the body of Christ, churches coming together. And in my spirit, when I woke up that morning, the Lord was speaking to me, we need unity in the body. So as a result of that, when I got into Korea, this dream was in my spirit, and on the 2 occasions, I believe, I shared that dream in my message while I was in Tokyo and Osaka and some of the other places. We went to several different cities in Japan, provinces. But when I got to Korea, I said, you know what? I really want to do this in the natural realm, because I had overheard in a green room, kind of just listening, of one organization talking about another organization and how if they came together, wow, they could have a huge crusade. But one didn't want to submit to the other. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great? And I was going to make it my mandate to get the squares of each of them and hold them together, pray over it, maybe even speak to the matter. Actually, just recently, the two of them, they just did something together. God is amazing. But anyway, we started this quilt. And I had a dream of some pastors and bishops, and God showed me who they were. I could visually see them in the dream. And I was in the middle, and I could see to my left some other pastors and leaders going up the hill. But the pastors and leaders on the right, their business was to talk about, to pull down, to assassinate the leaders that were going up to a higher level, a higher height. But they were on an incline, going up, 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 up. But on the edge was like a curve that went around, and it was like a cliff, a drop off. And the truck they were pulling, and they were pulling a trailer, it tipped over, and then in the dream I kind of floated over to the truck, and one of the pastors in the back was wounded, and he had a blanket over him. He was so frail, so light. I could just, you know, pick him up, like, he was just so frail. I believe that in our society today, with it becoming the business of people to bring disunity, that we become frail, we become fragile. And my goal was to take him to the hospital. And to my left, I could see this huge building. It was like a manufacturer or like a workshop. It's kind of how I would describe it, a hospital to put people together. And as I began to take him, I looked down, and he wasn't there, but there was a yellow business envelope with pastors' names on it and leaders. And the people to my right, it had become their business to literally assassinate these people. And some of the people's names were marked off. And it was like through their words, coming against them, to spreading things, to putting them down, to demoralize them, or whatever way it, you know, that they could do it. I got that in the dream. And I could see some leaders' names that hadn't had their names crossed off, but they were on the hit list. And so I'm looking at this envelope, and I could feel something in there moving around. And I could see, as I went inside, I pulled out a foot, and it was moving, and it had been severed from the ankle. I could see wasn't dripping blood, but I could see the red. I could see the carpaccio, the bone, the vein, where everything had been cut. And then I pulled out a hand in the same way where the hand had been severed. And by this time, I've gotten over to the door of this hospital, and I tell them at the door what happened. And they said, I want you to go down to the other entrance. You need to talk to the head of the hospital. And I believe it was the Lord or an angelic being. And when I went to give him the envelope, he looked at me and he said, I want you to help me with this. We've got to come together to take back our cities. And that starts with backing up, taking care of our home, our family, our cities, our states, and our country, and being the voice and get our focus and our business on coming against the devil and how he is taking out or trying to take out our young people, our families, so that they will not finish and fulfill business that God has ordained for them. And you know what, that business is their purpose. And God's saying, he has a purpose for us. He has a plan for us. And when each of us get in our lane and quit pulling down our leaders and our brothers or our sisters and share what we have, that we may get the job done. Because our young people are waiting on us. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to step up to be unified, because the world is waiting on us. In 2010, October, we were traveling across the U.S., and I was asking the Lord just to kind of define some things of what he had wanted us to do during that particular time and season. And so I had a dream. The Lord deals with me in dreams a lot. And I was driving down the highway, and I had two blankets over me. My feet were wrapped with two cloths, like blankets or hand towels. I had on gloves, and I was cruising down the highway. And to the left, I could see a vehicle, but to my right, I could see the construction. There were the barriers. You know how they have the orange and white barriers? They were there. And it's like road construction and the roadblock over to that side. But out my left, I could see a lady. She was all dressed up from head to toe. I guess it's from from her going by. Her car was so shiny. I mean, she almost looked like a mannequin. And so I get to the next exit. And I get off the highway, and I go into a place. It was drug infested. It was a high crime area. There were homeless people that were living there. Drugs and alcohol. It was a dark place. And on the corner, I kind of pull in this deserted kind of like parking lot. And when I get out of the car, is when I notice I have all this on. And I begin to walk down the street. And over to my right, there was a huge box, like a refrigerator. And I'm aware of my surroundings. And I always try to be. We travel so much and go so many places and do missions, and I always would try to be aware of what's going on around me. And I was praying in the spirit as I was walking into this neighborhood. And I could see within this box there was a man living in it, a homeless man. And he coughed. He went like that. And a lady was coming out of the neighborhood. This was an African-American neighborhood, so what I could gather in my dream. And a lady is walking out of the neighborhood, and as the man coughed, she jumped. And so she walked on out of the neighborhood, and then to the left, the first building, there was an open door there, and I went in. And I don't recall, a lot of times you go to the rest stops, or it was nothing inside that I remember in the dream, but I just remember an open door. And I come out, and as I'm coming out, I see all these young girls, maybe 10, 12, somewhere around there, girls, and they were running, and all these homes were like up on an incline, like a hill. And they were hollering, "Mama, mama, mama, we just got a call. My mama went off the incline. She's been hurt. And she may have died." And I said, "Oh, I saw her." And in the dream, I said, "God has sent me here to help, and to help you by divine providence." And I said, "Get in. I'll take you to where she is." I saw what had happened. They were trying to run there on foot. And then an African-American male, who was their brother, he came to the vehicle, and he was so angry. He was so mad. And he was crying for his mother. And I said, "Get in, get in, get in." I said, "We can help you. God has sent me here by divine providence." And he said, "Where have you been? Where have you been?" And he was so angry. And I could still see to this day the tears. And he had the mucus coming out of his nose. And he was crying. And the Lord said to me in the dream, he said, "That car is the mother. It's the church, all dressed up." On a destination, falling off a cliff. And our communities are crying out. They're crying out because people are fearful to go into our neighborhoods. People are fearful because of the drugs and the alcohol and the drive-by shootings. And you've heard my testimony on the show. We were talking a few months back how the young man on Easter Sunday, he came up and he went to take the trash out, and how they were doing a drive-by and he was shot in his arm. And so he's 10 years old, just missed his heart, but it went right through his left arm, right on the inside, close to his heart, and he was showing me the bullet holes. And we were praying for families. And since then, we've done our part, what we could do. But it's going to take the church. Because through intercession, people are crying out. They're looking for an answer. Not just the African-American community. It's not just the Hispanics or the whites or the we were in Japan or the Chinese, the Japanese, the Taiwanese, or the Europeans, or people from the Brazilians or the Colombians or the African community. And when we share what God has given us and we go to do the work that God has called us, We can be like that sleeping giant instead of having all of our differences. And I know a lot of church disciple those that are there, but there has to be the fivefold ministry and the evangelistic arm has to be in our churches. I went recently to a place about 2 months ago or so. I was in Mississippi in some of the impoverished areas. But never, ever seen anything like what I saw in Belgrade, which is in Palm City, which is one of the richest areas in Florida. But in Belgrade, area is so impoverished. In the United States of America and on the mission field, I don't think I've ever seen anything, not even in Louisiana or some of the places like Belgrade. And the minister who took us there, they just started to work in the last year and a half or so. And they actually took over one of the areas where they used to be a strip club, and the gang members and the actually drug dealers who sell on that corner. And they've moved away, and they've opened up this place for some of the youth to come after school. But you wouldn't even, just talking about it doesn't do it justice. Some people are living in condemned homes. The houses that they live in are like on bricks. And I mean, it's something you would see probably, you know, in a third world country. So, Pastor, and this is the point I'm getting to, is about the unity of the churches. And I said, you know, how many churches are here? Pastor said, there's about 60. Wonder if we could put our differences down. I'm not talking about interfaith. I'm talking about coming together for those who really believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, and believe in Christ and the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about bringing the Muslims together and all. I'm about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Those that are blood-bought Christians and believe in the blood of Jesus came together. And each one did our part and unified the body to release the gifts of the Spirit and to reach our community. We could have a wonderful awakening and revival. But what the enemy has done, he's made us like that whitewashed board, like the, and you know, Jesus referred to in the scriptures, like the Pharisees. But this quilt that we put together as a result of that dream, I think now we have several countries on the quilt. The quilt now, I think, is almost 20 feet long. And it's an evangelist. It's a prayer blanket. When we come together, we're so beautiful when we do our part. If we quit making it our business to put down the pastor and be in competition and competitive jealousy and try to outdo him in our buildings and this and that. You know, why are we doing what we're doing? Is it to impress somebody else? When Jesus said we're to build the kingdom, but most of all, we're to come together. We're to lift our brother and sister up. Just, you know, I was thinking about, wonder if one of the churches in Belgrade took care of the feeding ministry and housed the people there, and the other, they helped to get computers and had the other church have their after-school program. The other church said, I'm going to invest in the buses, and we can help to pick them up and have our monthly revival meetings, and we can come together, and we could have it at your church. It seems like it's the biggest church, or we could, us 60 churches, okay, maybe we could put together, you know, $1,000, or, wow, that might be too much, $60,000. And we can rent a place and really have a revival, have food, and feed the people. Or if you don't think $1,000 because we're a smaller church, maybe you could, you know, put $100 together. Have $6,000. You can do a lot with $6,000. But it's a mindset of, if I let you use my baptismal pool, I'll have to do it for everybody. God forbid. Coming together for the sake of the kingdom of God. And when we can put our differences down and quit making it our job to conquer and divide, but have the pastors come together in the community, that's how crusades, the greatest crusades we've ever done. I'm thinking, oh, we're not going to feed them? Or we're going to give them the word. No, the 90 pastors came together, and each of them had a part. And giving them the word, the whole city, 36,000 people in the city came out within a 7-day period. That's over thirds of the people. And as we close together, I just want to leave this with you. We have about 90 seconds left. When we come together in the unity of the body of Christ, we can help our young people. We can help our community. We can even help our family. Maybe this pastor over here can't reach this youth over here, but this youth group at this church, they can help to touch that life. If we're becoming a society, I'm believing of holiness, not lawlessness. Well, we're learning to obey authority, but it starts with us. In our schools, obeying our principals, obeying our teachers, obeying our officers, helping our children to get off the drugs. You know, I was sharing, I'm going to close with this story. I was sharing with someone today. When I went to all African-American grade school. And I remember they had an organization that came in. And they had two cages of mice. And they had this family of rats actually was on heroin and drugs. And this family wasn't. And they showed how healthy they were and how they got along and how they ate good food. But this family, they were skinny and they fought and they needed to have those drugs or they would die and go through withdrawals. And that had such a vivid impression in my mind. And then they passed out a flyer with every drug and the color. It was a color flyer that would come through our community, like LSD, or if we smoked, what is it called, shroom or hash. They had, you name it, barbiturates, LSD, all those. And they said, this will do this to you. We can reach our children, giving them knowledge as well as giving them Christ. And in my neighborhood, when I was in high school, I always remember that. Even with abstinence and purity, if we come together and share holiness, and even with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we can change a nation. Say to you today, success to the kingdom and success to you. And God says, ask of me, and I will give you the nation. I will give you the nation for your inheritance. So let's come together and have global intercession. you know, we have their spiritual warfare, begin to worship prophetically and pray for the church's mission to advance. Go and find somebody that you can do something with. It's about collaboration, not clobberation, clobbering someone over the head, but collaboration, not clobberation. And so many people have been beat down. We've had calls to our office. Pastors' wives have called, and very strong men of God tried to commit suicide. It's real warfare out there. But how sweet it is, how sweet, for brothers to dwell together in unity and in love. So I'm going to say to you today, don't take the bait of division, which is division, two visions. So let's put our visions together and let us walk out our soul salvation with fear and trembling, and walk out our destinies together, because your gifts will always make room for you, even if you're an apostle, even if you're a pastor, teacher, evangelist. Our prop, God has a, he has a plan. So let's go out and change your community, starting right in your home, reaching our young people, your husband's wife, cousins, nephews, brothers, sisters, and people that remember our community, want to know where we've been, and they're waiting on us. They're waiting on us. God bless. Bye-bye.